This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Interesting news, engaging talk, and news that affects you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning is Mark Mulvihill, Superintendent of Intermountain ESD. We have much to talk about this morning, and that conversation will begin right after these words, so stay with us.
Did you know street trees are regulated in the city of Pendleton? Permits are required to plant trees, and only certain types of trees can be planted. Street trees must be maintained to keep roadsides visible and sidewalks walkable. If you fail to maintain your trees, you may even be cited by the Pendleton Police Department. You can find details about street tree requirements and report an unmaintained or dangerous tree on the city of Pendleton's website. Just search street trees.
Let's get back to more live and local news from the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour. Dan Tespin, your host. Joining me in studio this morning is Mark Mulvihill, Superintendent, Intermountain ESD. Mark, good morning.
Morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing great. And boy, do we have a lot to cover this morning. I appreciate you taking the time and being here this morning.
Absolutely. It's always good to be here.
Well, the Crystal Apple Awards have been bestowed by IMESD. Tell us some of the highlights from the ceremonies that come to mind.
Yeah, we had the program last 2 weeks. Of course, we have one in Union County as well. So we started that one on May 8th, and then on May 16th, we had the Umatilla Morrow Awards. And wow, we had a lot of people at the convention center. It was full. When I got up to speak, it was like, boy, this place is full. So we were probably well over 200. It's become really a nice event where families come and partake and go out to dinner afterward. So it was really, really wonderful. It's one of those things, you know, like award ceremonies are always a lot of work, you know, and it crosses your mind, geez, this is so much work. Is it worth it? And everybody's busy and everybody's going, you know, to graduations. But then when you get there, it's awesome. And then when they come up and they get their crystal apple, how much it means. I mean, you're looking at people, you know, like with our legacy awards that have been in the classroom for 25, 30 years. That's a lot of kids. That's a lot of lives you've impacted. And it can get emotional very quickly. And it's just really, really affirming and such a feel-good event. And certainly these were much the same. A unique feature this year is Michelle Madrill, who is our communications director. She is the driving force behind it. I mean, she works all year on this. We also have Edie Allstott, Jennifer Richardson, Danielle Sackett, several of our staff members who put in lots of time beyond the normal day to put this together. But Michelle is the driving force. She's just an outstanding employee, and we wanted to give her a crystal apple and surprise her with it. And she is not an easy one to surprise because she has such really good intuition. So we ended up, Dan, where we gave 200 people a program that was different than the one she had when she was leading the crystal apple. And so everybody in the audience was prepped and told to keep this a surprise. And then when it got to the end, I came up and gave her crystal apple with a different program. So I didn't think we would pull it off. I thought she would find it. I thought somebody would leak, but we pulled it off, and it was a special one. But yeah, it's a great ceremony, and it means a lot to people. And you know, good teachers, good educators, bus drivers, they're not doing it for the pay. They're doing it for the intrinsic value of making a difference. But you need to be recognized and rewarded, and it's very motivating to do that as we end the year.
Well, congratulations again to all that were recognized. Now, as the ESD pulls away from IT service contracts with cities and other government organizations, what is the new look for your IT department?
Our new look for IT, and we're kind of excited about this. Of course, we're kind of sad, you know, because we built such long-term relationships. Part of the ESD functions, we can provide entrepreneurial services to city, county governments, and nonprofits. And so IT, HR, business, that kind of thing. We have the ability to do that. But as you know, and as everyone knows, it's all about workforce right now. And we are having a hard time filling positions, getting, you know, these IT jobs. It's a very mobile population. we're starting to compete with other entities that are doing really well, like Cayuse Technologies, like Amazon in their growth. And so this is a mobile population and mobile workforce. And for many, many years, we've provided IT, but it just is, it's exploding. You know, what IT was 25 years ago with a desktop and a computer lab is a completely different game with one-to-one computing and Chromebooks and video and everything we have in our world now, all the phone technology. So it has exploded. So as the work, as the need, cybersecurity, for instance, is a major initiative that we have to work with, protecting all the systems and the customers that we have. We basically have come to, what is our mission? What is our mission statement, the ESD? And our mission statement is very clear: to provide outstanding customer service in four areas, and technology is one, for education entities. So what we've done is we've kind of gone back to who we are. We are an education, Intermountain Education Service District, and we're going to focus our IT efforts strictly on that and no longer provide those for city and county. Now that, we're going through a transition, we're not going to leave anybody high and dry until they can transition, and it's hard finding IT staff, because IT staff is not just the person who shows up and helps you upload an app. There's so much behind the work with fiber, with wireless, with cybersecurity and servers. And so what we are doing is getting back to who we really are. We are an education entity. We have workforce challenges just like everybody does. This will enable us to become kind of leaner and meaner. And we're looking forward to this opportunity. We will certainly miss the relationships we've created with city, like the city of Pendleton and city of LeGrand. But it was time to do it. It was time to focus on us and get better serving our districts, maximize our workforce, and grow our own, and just kind of settle in. There's the old book, Good to Great, Know Your Hedgehog, Know Who You Are. That's what this is about. This is going back to our core and our mission statement.
And the economic forecast released this month seemed optimistic. What do you hope the message is as the legislature prepares to set the public education budget?
We want that money. We did not expect the May 17th forecast. We really thought we would be flat. We thought we would be implementing a $9.9 billion budget for K-12, which was a nice increase. But as everybody knows, inflation has dramatically jumped, and so cost of everything is much higher. We felt like 9.9 generally was going to be okay, but not for all districts. Part of our problem in K-12, people always say, you never have enough money. Well, part of our problem now is we're living on one-time federal money. So we are still paying for people, paying for programs through our federal COVID money. When that money, that's one-time money, when it drives up, what are you going to do with the school counselor that you are paying for with one-time money? So we need roll-up costs from the state that keep the level of staffing that we need to have for our kids. So your question was the forecast. We thought we would be at 9.9 and moving forward. I just had my budget committee meeting last week, and we approved a budget at 9.9. Our budget committee was the same day as the forecast. Forecast comes out. Oregon is anticipating revenue of an additional $2.23 billion. Well, a lot of that's going back in the kicker. But what we're asking for in the school business is we want the corporate kicker, which it goes toward education by law. We want that in this biennium, and we'd like the number to go up to 10.3. That would really help stabilize us. That would help declining enrollment districts. We have several in our area that would help stabilize immensely, and it would help replace the one-time revenue that we've lost through the federal money.
All right. Well, thank you for that explanation. We're going to take another break and come back, continue our conversation. Mark Mulvihill, Superintendent, Intermountain ESD, my guest. We will be right back.
Is pain altering your life? Listen to Angela Baum on how the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton has helped her.
My pain started with arthritis in both knees. At first, you could take care of it, and then it became a constant pain. I chose ozone therapy because it was less invasive than other treatments. I definitely have less inflammation in both knees and my lower back, and I have no pain in my back after treatment 3.
If you suffer from chronic pain, call the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton, 541-276-1752.
Breaking news. The Port of Wawa and its partner Alaska Airlines are excited to announce the return of the second round-trip flight between Walla Walla and Seattle. This second flight commences on September 6, 2023 at the Walla Walla Regional Airport with an early a.m. departure and a late p.m. arrival. Let's rally around this expanded air service and fly Walla Walla. Book your tickets today at alaskaair.com. Remember, free parking.
At McKay Creek Estates, every day brings something new and exciting for our residents. We're so much more than bingo. From day trips, poker nights, to manicures and happy hours, our team works hard to create moments that bring residents joy and fulfillment. We invite you to come visit and experience the fun for yourself as we celebrate life at every age. For more information, visit prestigecare.com/McKay Creek. Again, that's prestigecare.com/McKay Creek.
Time to get the deck ready for summer. Zimmerman & Company True Value can get you started and has expert advice to give you a hand. Here's Terry to tell you more.
We've got all the sanding equipment, all the stains and deck paints.
Do you have a recommendation of when is a good time to paint?
Yeah, when it's above 65 degrees and humidity is, you know, relatively low. I think across the board, you want to make sure it's in between that, like, 65 to 90 pretty much.
Zimmerman & Company True Value. Open 7 days a week on Main Street in Pendleton. Making pre-arrangements not only allows you to have control over your final wishes, but it also lifts the burden off of your loved ones. Here's Mike Turner with Pendleton Pioneer Chapel to tell you more.
Every time I pull out a pre-need that somebody has set up in advance, the family is so grateful because it removes the questions. So to set up something in advance, again, whether it's funded or not, is a great idea.
Mike and Michelle invite you to stop by and say hello at Pendleton Pioneer Chapel at 131 Southeast Byers Avenue in Pendleton.
Pendleton Original. It's the KUMA Coffee Hour. And now back to your host on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Intermountain ESD Superintendent Mark Mulvihill. And Mark, you were telling me before the program, you just recently had an opportunity to meet, I think, twice with Oregon Governor Tina Kotek.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to, and I met her on a personal level a few years ago when she was here visiting for Bob Jensen's funeral. She and Bob Jensen, Representative Jensen, were pretty close colleagues, and had a chance to meet her. And, you know, these governors are always so impressive that they can remember names and faces. It's just remarkable, people of that kind of leadership level, how they do that. But I had a chance to interact with her in Boardman about early learning. And also yesterday, we had a meeting with several superintendents talking about the current, the budget and walkout and where we are. And I've just found her, she is really making a very, very strong effort to represent all Oregonians. I know, you know, she obviously is a lifelong Democrat in our area, predominantly, you know, by the voting percentages, we're, what are we, 65, 35 split with Republicans, something like that. But I've been really, really impressed. You know, when I look, Dan, at the walkout right now and the issues going on with the polarization in the state and some of the extreme stuff on both ends of the spectrum, as I look at that, and I've worked directly with her a couple times now, she is really trying to keep the focus on Oregonians, or this regardless of political party. And I think, you know, starting out, she said she was going to do that, going on the listening tours. She's done that and done that well. Along the lines of this legislative session, I am becoming more and more concerned with the impact of what this walkout could be. It's somewhat similar to the debt ceiling issue federally. And if you do not have a quorum in the Senate right now, so again, reminder, the Republicans have walked out and there is not a quorum in the Senate. The House is still operating. But if they don't have 20 Senate members, they can't pass anything, including a budget. So last time I checked, they were going to be done on the third week of June by law. Last time I checked, today is May 23rd. We're talking a month to finish this legislative session so that we all in the government business have a budget starting on July 1. So think about that. 1 month. Conversation we just had before the break about the forecasts and the revenue and the targets. There's a lot of politics in both the Senate and the House and the governor that has to occur for this to be finalized. And we're down to a month away and they're not operating. It's very concerning. This is not a small thing and it's unprecedented. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not there. I don't know. You know, I can tell you our representatives, Bill Hansel in the Senate, Levy and Smith, these are really, really hardworking, good politicians that have built a strong reputation already over there. So I can only imagine the angst that Bill is dealing with right now, because Bill also wants to take care of his constituents in Eastern Oregon. I can't imagine how he must be feeling right now in the position he's in. And I think we all need to support him, and we need to support him getting back and finishing. And we've got to get this done, and we've got a month. And I don't know what the hurt feelings, the anger, the difference in philosophy, the polarization. I get all of that. But we need these guys back, and we need to finish the session. We need a budget, because if I go into a budget into July and August where I'm not being paid roll-up, I'm going to be using my savings account. And I only have so many months of a savings account that I can pay my employees. And so if you extrapolate that to not only 197 school districts and 19 ESDs, you extrapolate that to all the government entities involved, we have to have a budget in July. And the governor may be forced to call a special session if they can't get it done. I think that's what would have to happen. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the bottom line is this situation going on every single day that a calendar page changes is very problematic for Oregon, and we need to get resolution, and it's going to take both sides sitting in a room and figuring this out. I don't know what all the behind the scenes are, but they got to figure it out. We got to get a budget done.
Well, and then last night, we get this news release regarding the legislative leader's recommended public school budget. And I know that, you know, we've talked a little bit earlier regarding the economic forecast, but leadership announced, you know, historic budgets for state school fund, early learning, and literacy success. Your reaction to that?
That's part of our 10.3 number that I said earlier. I think it would be wonderful. I know that there's a carve out this year. depends on the final number, but early literacy is a focus. It always has been a focus for us in K-12, but there's a focus on specific dollars designed for that, for tutors, summer school, extended day before school, because of the importance of third grade reading. And I think it's spot on. You know, it's critical that students are reading on grade level, grade three. Otherwise, statistically, as they move on to the future, they're behind significantly. One way to look at this for early literacy is from birth to third grade is 9 years. So the first 9 years of a person's life, really, it's all about learning how to read. Then from fourth grade to 12th grade, another 9 years, second 9 years is reading to learn. So first one's learning to read, second one's reading to learn, and then we read to learn for the rest of our lives. So we know how critical it is for those first 9 years to learn how to read by third grade. That's what this initiative's about. And it's the first time we've seen money dedicated toward it. So obviously we think it's great. We are concerned because it's all the same pot of money. This one's designated for this. So it's not flexible. As long as we're funded at those higher numbers, this is great. But if it's carving out from that, then that limits a little bit. But at the end of the day, this is good stuff, and we're strongly in support of it.
All right. We're going to take another break. Back with more, so stay with us.
Check out our archives, podcasts of past KUMA Coffee Hours, online at mycolumbiabasin.com.
The Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store, is proud to be part of this great community and part of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We stand up when we hear the national anthem, put our hands on our hearts when we recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and we thank God for everything He has given us. If you feel the same way, stop by and say hi to your neighbors at the Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store. God bless America. God bless you. And God bless beer.
In the late 1800s and the early 1900s, wheat farmers used up to 40 mules to pull combines through the hills of wheat country. The Umatilla County Historical Society presents the 19th annual Old Iron Show. Experience the sights, sounds, and mechanical marvels which led those mules out of the fields for the last time. Tractors, engines, cars, trucks, horse-drawn, and hand-powered machinery will be on display at the free show June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Roy Raley Park, Pendleton.
Get around town for free. The City of Pendleton Letter Bus Transit is a bus system within the city limits and has 11 stops a day at 30 locations throughout town. Cost of the ride is free, and the bus operates 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. For route and schedule information, please visit our website at www.pendleton.or.us/transportation or call 541-276-6476. Letter Bus Transit is brought to you by the City of Pendleton.
Are you an experienced line cook? Team Wild is looking for line cooks that want to grow and be a part of an evolving team. Come this Wednesday to Wild Horse Resort and Casino from 10 to 2 for their walk-in hiring event and on-the-spot interviews. Positions offer competitive wages, amazing benefits, 9 paid holidays, birthday leave, paid vacation, free meals, and more. Walk-in Wednesday hiring events from 10 to 2 in the HR building at Wild Horse Resort and Casino, Pendleton.
Let's get back to the area's only live and local morning show, the KUMA Coffee Hour, on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Mark Baldehill, Superintendent, Intermountain ESD. And Mark, there have been some disturbing stories lately about teens 16 and younger being involved in assaults and displaying dramatically disrespectful attitudes. How can this be addressed?
Well, first of all, whenever we hear an event like this, we have to remember that these are more one-offs than common. Majority of our kids are very well behaved, very kind. Schools have worked really, really hard since the pandemic to have kids reconnect with. We are much better at understanding mental health issues. We're very much understanding that kids, depending on their background, depend on their demographics, depending on even race, have a different perspective than what some of us may have. And we've done a much better job of connecting and listening, and most importantly, connecting adults one-on-one to kids. It's what we all need. Every kid needs that. So when we hear the juvenile delinquent type of behavior, or the shocking behavior like we saw in Hermiston with that assault, we have to remember that this is not common, that the majority of our kids walk into school every day and walk our street are wonderful, sweet kids. They may have their headphones on, they may have a hoodie on, they may look like a teenager, but they're good kids and they need adults to connect with them. And question, what do we do about this kind of thing? Getting adults connected to kids at an early age, like we were talking about early literacy, is key. Kids are going to find a gang, okay? They're going to find a gang. We're a social animal. Now, if you can get them in a chess club, that's a positive gang. That's a positive group. Get them on the basketball team. Get them in the choir. Get them to outdoor school. Get them in a class with a sense of family, sense of team. They're going to join a group. So the more we as adults open doors for groups, connections, that's the answer to this. That's the answer, is the prevention of this. These kids obviously are together and building upon bad behavior. My experience has been these kind of kids, once you talk to them, you pull them out of a situation and talk to them individually, then you start seeing empathy. Then you start seeing judgment. But remember, a teenager, too, does not even have a 17-year-old, 18-year-old boy doesn't even have the same level of judgment as 11-year-old because of development, brain development. So I'm not excusing this by any means. It's intolerable. We can't accept it. It's horrible. And I know Jason Edmiston, I just am reading the situation and we were talking about it. I have a lot of respect for Jason. I have a lot of respect for Chuck Byram, our local law enforcement people, I think very highly of. And so when they make the statements that they do, it's like, whoa, wow, this isn't good. But it's not reflective of the teen population. And there's ways early to prevent it. And we can blame parents. We can, you know, go down that game. Yeah, and then there's a lot of cases that's the case. But what are we going to do about it? We're going to try to connect earlier. We're going to try to, you're just better off if you can get these kids in positive programs, positive groups, get them connected to an adult that values them, then you are having to deal with the discipline after the fact to the degree that they are. So, yeah, you know, that would be my message. Is it's a bad deal, and it's hard to hear that.
What are your feelings then about the police citing parents for failure to supervise minors in cases such as this of delinquent behavior?
I think that it's a tool in their box, and they obviously felt they needed to do it. You know, just like in the school business, we have various disciplinary up to expulsion. You don't, you know, as a police chief, as a school administrator, you wear a tool belt working with a situation, and every situation is different. The fact that they went as aggressively as they did in this particular situation would indicate the severity of it. So citing parents is a pretty that's pretty severe, and because it's hard to prove that. And so obviously the actions that Jason took and the city of Hermiston took on this would indicate the severity of the issue.
And I got about 2 minutes left, Mark. How are things going with the virtual learning academy?
Going really, really well. We're finishing up the year. We have kids graduating in their districts. A reminder of our virtual learning academy. It basically is the backbone of the district's virtual program. And it's been a huge success. I think we're up to around 700 kids throughout the four counties. We'll be moving into summer school, Dan. And we do a lot of credit recovery for high school students. So the kids that are behind in high school, they get a chance to retake online their high school classes so that they can start the fall recovering to full status, let's say a junior. We're also seeing a real strong expansion of dual credit opportunities. Mark Browning, president of Blue Mountain, and I have worked with our staffs to try to strengthen the Eastern Promise and build the program even more. We're offering a ton of dual credit, and we're offering it through the Virtual Learning Academy as well. So we're excited about that. That seems to be the most popular courses are the early college classes through Blue Mountain.
All right. Well, good to hear. And I appreciate your time this morning. My guest, Mark Mulvihill, Superintendent, Intermountain ESD. Mark, we'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Dan.
All right. Thank you.
For local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.